Let's all go to the lobby. 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 Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinema Shakedown, the weekly podcast that functions as a grab bag for all things film. I'm your host, Kyle Craigbaum, and we are not joined by Jordan. He's on his hiatus. This is the start, so I have a very special guest on, the number one fan of Cinema Shakedown, Charlie Wade. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's great to be back on the show, as always.
Yeah, it's been a while. What was the last time you were on?
It was for all the Predator movies and Bullet Train.
That's when I wasn't on. That's why I didn't remember you being on for a while.
It was me, Jordan, and Gage, so I have to get my interacting with Kyle content now.
Yeah, there you go. I think the last time we were on, we talked about Cats. It was the musical.
Cats, it was the, like, bad round musicals. Because the first one was, like, really good round of musicals.
Yeah. We did that to ourselves.
Doo-doo garbage.
How many times have you seen Cats?
Well, me and my roommate do this thing called the Jellicle Ball every month where we watch Cats and we drink milk out of bowls every time they say Jellicle. I have it logged on Letterboxd, I think, 7 times.
7?
But I forget to log it every time. I genuinely think if I had to make a good guess, it would be like 12 or 13.
That's insane.
And it's only going to keep going up. I got to watch it in March still.
Speaking of going up, you've talked to our apartment about this, but what is with you and 80 for Brady?
What's with me and 80 for Brady? Let me tell you, Kyle. 80 for Brady, so when we found out it was coming out, this movie produced by Tom Brady about four women over 80 who love Tom Brady.
That is the premise.
We were enthralled. We were like, what can we do to like make this a meme? And so we decided, me and my buddy Nathan Hackenworth, that we were going to see 80 for Brady 80 times.
Yeah.
And so we've developed a challenge called the 80 for 80 for Brady challenge, where basically, then there's four tiers of it, right? There's the bronze tier, where us combined with the people we watch it with make up like 80 total showings. And then there's the silver, which is we get 80 different people to watch it with us. And then there's the gold, which is both of us have seen 80 for Brady 80 times. And then there's the platinum, which is if we get someone who's involved with 80 for Brady to watch it with us, which is a long shot.
That's but insanity. It would be
funny. That's more like one of the side quests. So far, I'm at 5 watches.
5 watches? Mm-hmm. Holy shit. Yeah. I still haven't seen it. I'll be one of those watches. Yeah. You can introduce me to,
yeah, for sure,
80 for Brady.
You will definitely be one of those watches. But yeah, I mean, honestly, like, the thing about it is we did this challenge and we were expecting it to be a bad movie.
Yes.
But it's not. It's written by the people that did Booksmart. It's a really witty script.
I love Booksmart.
These four ladies act the shit out of this. Tom Brady can, like, the way I describe it is he delivers his monologue like the best actor at your high school.
Okay. Yeah.
He's just kind of like, okay. Like, wow, he can low-key act.
Sure, okay.
But yeah, no, I love that movie, and it's just funny. So if you want to keep up with it, you can follow me on Letterboxd. You're going to see 80 for Brady in your feed pretty much every week.
Right. I just realized that I got so excited talking to you, I didn't introduce what movies we're talking about this week, which is Scream 6 and 65. Yeah. But have you seen anything else before we get into those?
Yeah, I just finished my rewatch of Breaking Bad. We were talking about that before we started rolling.
Perfect show.
El Camino, just watched it for the first time.
Great fucking movie.
Excellent movie. Just started Better Call Saul.
My favorite show of all time.
Any
movies? Besides, you know.
I'm trying to think. Give me just a second. I feel like I definitely have seen something that I wanted to talk about. Mostly 80 for Brady, genuinely.
You watched The Last of Us. You liked that?
Oh, The Last of Us was incredible. They're my favorite games, and
yep.
I think it took me till the third episode to like really have it set in. Like, holy crap, this is being adapted well.
Yeah.
Like, this is actually genuinely good TV, aside from my love of the game. And,
right.
And you know, I think they batted a perfect season, which is incredible.
Yeah, there wasn't a miss in there. Have you seen Succession yet?
No, I haven't.
I realized I finished season 3 in between the podcast episodes. Season 3 is one of my favorite seasons of television, and the finale is probably in my top 5 TV episodes ever. Mm. It's an incredible series. I describe it as, it's like Game of Thrones if it was about rich people in modern day.
Mm-hmm.
Just like backstabbing, greed, but it's so funny, but also dramatic. Like, it has the perfect package. Best performances on TV. Like, you got
to
check that out.
I'm going to wipe out Better Call Saul and then probably get to that. I watched Creed for the first time because I'm trying to get to the third one.
Eventually. Yes, which I love. Creed 1's great. We talked about it last week. Yeah.
I was so surprised. Yeah. I did not expect to like it as much as I did.
Yeah. It has such a power behind it. Uh-huh. That climax is like
The final fight, I was ducking and weaving along with the...
I've talked about when he's like almost possessed back to life. That is such a crazy moment. I love... The one-take fight early on is incredible.
Yeah. I will say, and I'm going to just jump around Creed spoilers, but I saw, scrolling on Wikipedia before I decided, all right, I'm going to watch Creed today.
Right.
I saw that Sylvester Stallone got like a nomination for an Oscar for it. And I was kind of like, okay, they threw him a bone. And then I watched the movie and I was like, they did not throw him a bone.
He's excellent.
Yeah, he's so good in that
He's
movie.
Excellent. Best performance. I haven't watched any more movies besides that. I've only watched TV, which was Succession, Last of Us, and I'm watching Teen Wolf. You ever heard of Teen Wolf?
I've heard of Teen Wolf.
It's fucking...
Like the one with Michael J. Fox, or...
No, the show.
The show.
The MTV show.
Gotcha.
It's terrible. I can't stop watching it. It's my ultimate hate watch right now. It stinks. Dylan O'Brien's in it. He's pretty good, though. I like Dylan O'Brien.
I hate watched 3 episodes of Velma.
Ooh, no.
It was
okay. Jordan and I talked about potentially hate watching Riverdale after it's over.
I'll do it with you guys.
I'll join us.
I will.
Yeah, we'll do it this summer.
Okay, sounds good.
Because, I watched the first season when it came out, and I was like, I don't want to watch more. But then hearing that there's like magic and time travel and aliens, I'm like, okay.
Because I was like the target age audience for this when it came out.
I was the first season.
And I kept up, and I think I watched the first 2 seasons, and then I remember the season 3 premiere being like about a cult or something, and I don't think I watched another episode after that.
And then it just gets wilder. Like, they're in like the 50s in this new season.
Oh, are they?
Like, they've time traveled back in time.
No fucking way.
Yeah, no, I'm dead serious.
That's insane. I watched, speaking of time travel, I watched Quantumania. I don't want to talk about it at all.
We don't have to. Even if you wanted to, I don't remember it.
No, exactly.
It's like, because
nothing happens.
It's evaporated from my mind.
Yeah, the only thing that's ingrained in my mind is MODOK. Also, we kept count. They say quantum 17 times.
17?
Yeah.
If I was to watch it again, my rating would probably go down. It's a bad movie.
I was just filled with rage.
What'd you give it?
2.5.
That's generous.
Yeah, it is generous. I don't remember why. Oh, I give it 2.5 for and I think you were the one that commented on this, but
yeah.
Jonathan Majors.
He's good.
It wasn't everything he did in the movie that I was like, wow, he's amazing.
That's right, I forgot.
But the after credit scene.
Yeah.
Spoilers for Quantumania, real quick, for the after credit scene. You see all these different Kangs, and he does every single one of them differently.
Yeah.
That impressed the shit out of me. And I cannot wait to I think I'm literally just gonna watch stuff he's in.
I'm excited for him.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Oh, and like Guardians 3 and stuff.
I'm going to see Guardians 3. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's James Gunn. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get in.
We've put off talking about these movies long enough.
Let's get into them.
Let's do it.
So let's start with Scream 6.
All right.
So Scream 6 is obviously the 6th film in the Scream franchise. Very popular horror comedy slasher franchise. This follows the characters that were introduced in last year's Scream.
I'm glad they didn't call this one Scream 2-2.
Jesus Christ. But our character, our sister group, Sam and Tara from the first movie, they now live in New York. Tara's going to school there, and a string of Ghostface murders start again. This is the first film in the franchise outside of Woodsboro, California, a very different setting.
You gonna hit us with a plot synopsis?
I mean, that is the plot synopsis.
That's pretty much the plot synopsis. Yeah,
that is
I
the plot.
It is, yeah.
Like there's Ghostface murders. It's happening again in New York this time.
Right.
But except without Sidney Prescott this time. Without Neve Campbell, because they didn't pay her enough.
Yeah, I want to talk about the way that they did that.
They didn't pay. What would the character, like, what they say about the character?
Yeah, it was just
I don't
like,
think that's a big spoiler.
It was like... Well, this gets into other problems I have with it, so...
Okay, so... other problems... Here's what I will say about Scream 6, off the rip. I was big on the last year's Scream. I really liked it.
I
liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people are kind of mixed on it. They don't think... It hasn't... I've watched it a few times. It hasn't held up as quite as well as I thought it would. I still prefer the first 2 Screams, 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a sense of fun there. There's a sense of momentum.
Yeah.
And for this one, I had problems with it, but for the first two-thirds, I was feeling it. You know, I was enjoying. I think there's some really inventive set pieces in this. I think that Jenna Ortega continues to be a star.
Yeah, she...
completely. And some of the other, our core group of characters, they dub themselves the core four. I enjoy them for the most part, especially the, I'm forgetting his name now. Jason? I like Jason.
Are you talking about Chad?
Is that his name? Oh my God, I was looking at the wrong fucking name. Chad. I like Chad.
Yeah, Chad is, basically making Chad the new Dewey, and I'm kind of on
board. Yeah, like, he's just like the doofus. Yeah. But this movie whiffs it in the third act. Hard. I think the reveal fails. I think usually, like, these Scream movies, the big twist, the reveal of who's Ghostface is the big moment.
Yeah.
They whiff it.
Yeah.
Characters...
I called it in the first act.
The characters make inexplicably stupid decisions, and there's an absurd amount, without spoiling, there's an absurd amount of plot armor.
Yeah.
So an absurd amount.
Literally to the point where I threw up my hands
at
the amount of plot armor.
Whereas I was... While I was entertained for the majority of this movie, the ending leaves a sour taste in my mouth because it feels very unsatisfying.
I wasn't entertained.
Yeah, really.
I could not get past the dialogue. I'm so sorry.
It's not great.
It's not even good.
Yeah.
It's not even good. It doesn't mean that they didn't have something interesting going on in the first two acts story-wise. And the action was so good. Like, I don't want to get too much into spoilers right now.
We'll get in
the
minute.
Bodega scene. We haven't had a good Scream, like, thing like that. Like, I didn't feel anything like that in Scream. And I'm a defender of Scream 5. I got bullied for loving Scream 5. And I just watched this movie and I was like...
You know, the bodega scene, I think they build tension well in the train scene that they tease in the trailer.
Train scene.
There's a scene involving a ladder that I think is very fun. Windows and a ladder.
Yes, yeah.
I think that's a great set piece. But again, this movie fizzles really hard.
Yeah.
And that's so disappointing because it seems like a lot of people think this is one of the best Scream
movies.
No,
I felt crazy after
all,
I watched it.
Like, it's got like a 3.8, 3.9 on Letterboxd. It's very positive. And I was just a little let down by its conclusion. Again, I still like the acting. I actually think that one of my least favorite parts of last year's Scream was Melissa Barrera.
Most improved player.
She's great.
She's not great.
She's good.
She's good.
An improvement. The character's better, more likable,
and
she's doing better.
It's just that there's something behind her eyes now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
In Scream 5, like, she's serviceable.
And I was really worried. I was starting to worry, like, she's just a bad actress. Because I didn't like her in The Heights either.
Yeah, she wasn't great in that either. I think we talked about that.
You were on for that episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like Chad, I like Tara, I like Sam. Mindy, out of the core four, she's my least favorite.
I loved her in Scream 5, and in this movie, I was like, they wrote you so annoying, I can't stand you.
I was certainly bothered by moments in this movie. We can hop into spoilers because I'm sure that you're kind of chomping at the
bit.
Are we doing
a rating before spoilers or after?
Rating for before spoilers.
Okay, I gave it 5 out of 10.
5 out of 10?
Yeah.
Yeah. 6 out of... Actually, Jordan's here. He's the one that always stops me from going wild with my ratings. He always reins me back. You're not here anymore, buddy. On Letterboxd, I rate movies out of 100.
Uh-huh.
I'm giving it a 63.
63?
It's a 6 out of 10, 3 out of 5, whatever you want to call it.
I would give it, if I'm doing like out of 100.
You can do whatever you want.
I mean, I'd give it like a 52.
52? All right. 63, I had a little more fun than you, but certainly there's a lot to talk about here.
I think the reason that is, and this is something I've discovered about myself since I'm an actor, my criticism of movies tends to be very, whether I mean for it to or not, very, very acting and dialogue centric.
Yeah.
And both of those things, I mean, acting way less than script kind of just fell flat for me. And so it was kind of hard for me to get on board.
Yeah. The supporting performances are not amazing. Especially when you get, I want to save the twist reveal because that's what my biggest problem is. But even early on, one of the reasons I have a problem with Mindy, the famous, every Scream movie has a scene where they explain the rules.
Yeah.
In this one, she starts to, like, explain them. And then she just kind of ditches it and is like, yeah, anyone can die.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
It was just like...
Why'd you tell me that, then?
They kind of treated, like, the whole second act like that scene. And
yeah.
That's kind of what I... Like, I was just like, you guys are taking this... It's, like, so fucking on the nose. It's, like, on Pinocchio's nose. Like,
right.
It was so, like yeah. It was too much.
Yeah.
It was too much.
I did really like the opening scene with Samara Weaving and
yes.
Oh, what's his name that play, Tony Revolori.
Mm-hmm. The opening scene, I was like...
Because it's such a change of pace for Scream. It's immediately seeing a ghost face
uh-huh.
and then having him get killed.
Yeah.
It's, like, a good subversion.
In terms of flavor, I was very I saw this in an AMC in Manhattan.
Oh, that's fun.
Which was, you know, because I was like, wouldn't it be fun
sure.
for us to see Ghostface takes Manhattan in Manhattan?
Right.
And so the flavor was there. I sat down
yeah.
our opening scene, and the opening scene where we see the Ghostface reveal, my friends and I were like, what?
Yeah, right. And I also like that Samara Weaving gets to use her real voice. She never gets to use her actual... she's a great actress.
Oh, right.
Yeah. She was the lead in Ready or Not a couple years ago. Oh, dude, you like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. But I also love the clever nod where in his apartment when he goes back home in the opening scene, Jason Takes Manhattan's playing on the TV.
Yeah.
I was like, you're funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the dialogue and character stuff is certainly ropey in that first. I was really disappointed by Hayden Panettiere coming back as Kirby, who was a character I really liked in Scream 4. And now she's like an FBI agent
yeah,
in this one.
Yeah, yeah, it was too... They tried to make her Neve Campbell.
Yeah. And like, yeah, again, I was so disappointed because I was like, oh, she's coming back. I really liked her in Scream 4.
Yeah, I think she's really good in Scream 4.
And yeah, the character, they don't give her enough to do. And then she, yeah.
She's used as bait, basically.
And then the detective played by Dermot Mulroney is mediocre for the first two thirds and then fucking horrible in the last third, which I'll
just
get to.
I said...
He's Ghostface?
In the first, like,
yeah.
Literally the first act, I was like, he's Ghostface. And my girlfriend was like, what? And I was like, it's in his acting tells. Like, genuinely, like...
Yeah.
It was almost like they set the... And we talked, it was almost like they set the third act up for failure.
Yeah.
They were way too on the nose that, like, they basically reveal their own ghost faces with, like, the, like, my Letterboxd review was, I can't believe that Ghostface was the original Broadway company of Dear Evan Hansen. Because I saw, like, the police chief as, like, the dad.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just an Evan Hansen clone, and then the girl as well.
It's just, yeah, this is a lame batch of Ghostface
killers.
It
fucking sucks.
For this time around, there's three of them.
Give me the Redditors.
There's three of them, and it's the family of, whatever his name is that got killed in the... Like,
Richie. Yeah.
Like, I almost said Huey, that's him and the boys. Richie, this is their family. Out of these, the only performance that I thought was semi-okay out of the three of them was the girl, Quinn. She was, like, okay
at
being crazy.
Yeah.
When that kid switches to crazy, he is so unconvincing.
Oh, entirely unconvincing.
He played Spider in Avatar 2. Did you see that?
That was Spider?
Yeah, that's how long ago they filmed Avatar 2, bruh. Let me look.
No, I believe you.
That's him, yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I didn't even make that connection.
No, that's...
He wasn't growling at me for 3 hours, so I didn't...
Yeah, and Dermot Mulroney, when he goes crazy, he's terrible. He's bad in that last third. He sucks.
But the thing is, the dialogue was literally so bad that I was like, who is it, the dialogue or the person? Most of the time. The
yeah.
only person where I was like, it's definitely the dialogue, the entire movie, is Jenna Ortega.
Yeah.
I was like...
Because she's an amazing actress.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Speaking of her, I thought the Chad and Tara romance was incredibly forced and awkward.
I think they have chemistry, which is what carries it a little bit. Because
they're both great actors.
That's what I'm saying. But, like, it's not written well.
It doesn't make sense, and it's
yeah.
not written well.
There are some great kills in this movie. Some really brutal
awesome
kills. It's vile. It's violent.
This is what made it... The 50% is what is just literally all the, like, action and suspense and chase
yeah.
and slasher
scenes. Again, yeah, the train scene is very, like, built up to. It's very tense.
Mm-hmm.
They, like, there's a lot of, like... Yeah, it winds in before it kind of turns into a set piece. The latter one's so cool. I love that
yeah,
whole one. Like, it's so cool and ends with a like a great death.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that the himbo guy just had nothing to do with it.
He was just, yeah, chilling.
I love that man.
And then, yeah, like, there are, the bodega scene is awesome.
That's why, probably my favorite scene in the movie, except for one thing, the, like, the fact that she does the, like, I'm gonna throw this over here, yeah, like an NPC, and my girlfriend, I think it was either my girlfriend or my friend Andrew, but one of them, like, what went out loud in the theater, that actually worked.
Yeah, that, God. So yeah, I liked the set pieces, but the fact that it built to such an underwhelming climax, where how many times in this trilogy with these new characters are they gonna, like, Tara, she's got a darkness inside her, this killer.
They're just gonna keep doing that. What I don't want is the Halloween Ends of this trilogy.
I like Halloween Ends, but you know.
But okay, I'm not talking about the quality of the movie. That's another argument, but just the idea of Halloween Ends.
And, yeah, like, I got you.
I don't want to spoil Halloween Ends.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
That movie would either be amazing or terrible.
Yeah. It just kind of fell flat at the end. And we got to get into the plot armor a bit.
We do.
It's really bad.
Yeah,
the
segue I was going to use is the action's great. It's kind of a shame that every impactful, like, kill was just, they were like, psych, it didn't happen.
So I think Sam might be the only, like, main character to not get, like, horrifically stabbed, or, unless she does and I'm just forgetting it. But Tara, Mindy
gets stabbed like 11 times.
Chad gets checked stabbed by two people. She gets shanked.
Yeah.
And then at the end, he's just chilling.
Got that dog in him.
Like, I thought that was so stupid. Yeah, when they wheeled him out, I was like,
ugh. I had rage on my face when that happened. I was like, how are they not fucking dead?
And oh my God, Gail, that whole scene where Gail.
Okay. Is she alive?
I think so. I don't know. They never actually, like, go back to her, so who knows? She was so shoehorned into this.
It was bad. It was, like, the Gale scene, I was like, what are we doing? Can we get back to the plot of the movie? Like...
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not like this movie. It just pissed me off more than it did anything for me. Like...
I enjoyed myself watching it, but just when thinking back on it, I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of issues here. I think it's fun if you just want, like, a mindless slasher.
Yeah.
Most, like, this is my second least favorite Scream movie. Yeah.
Also fun to see it in New York. I walked out and took the subway and I was like, oh God.
Yeah, that's fun.
You know, that was kind of some
atmosphere.
That was the fun I had with it.
So I'm glad people are loving it. I don't love it as much. I think it's okay. I think it's a decent slasher. You're a little lower than me.
I don't think I inherently am a slasher lover enough for me to just like a movie on how good of a slasher it is.
Yeah. I was suitably entertained by it. Yeah. But like, considering that Scream is my favorite slasher film, like...
The first Scream is amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I love 2 as well.
I think 2 is awesome too.
Yeah, I think I'm out of things to say on it. It's okay. I think you should still see it if you like movies like this, but...
If you like Scream 5 and you didn't look past the dialogue in that one,
yeah,
like you just genuinely didn't have an issue with it, you'll like this movie.
Yeah.
Like, I had an issue with Scream 5's dialogue and a lot of the performances, but I got past it because I thought the quality of the whole was good enough.
Right.
But with this one, I was just like, especially with the third act falling apart. The
you also kind of lose the horror satire in this. Like, the satire of the horror genre. Because
it's just so meta.
In 5, they brought it to like, okay, we're gonna mock Reddit users and elevated horror, and that was like the spoofing. But in this one, you don't really have much.
Mm-hmm. I loved the letterbox jab.
That was funny. I laughed out loud in theaters. They attacked me personally, and I get it.
I don't like that every other scene was like written as a sappy scene. It felt very sappy, and like they wanted you to care about these characters that they aren't fleshing out in any meaningful way.
That's fair. I think that's totally fair.
And that it's like, don't like you gotta earn this. Like, don't do this. Every other scene, like core 4, ha ha ha, we're family. It's just like shut up and like let them do something that serves the plot.
Yeah. It's like not even much of a comedy, this movie. It's mostly a horror.
I didn't laugh much.
Yeah. I laughed a couple times. Early on, the opening scene where the other Ghostface is getting killed. He goes, "We have to finish our movie. Who gives a fuck about movies?"
Yeah.
That made me laugh. I thought that was a fun
line. I laughed at this movie a lot. I laughed at this movie a lot but not more than, like, I wanted to, like, laugh at its jokes.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah.
Like, when she says, "Fuck this franchise," I was like, "You think you're hilarious?"
Yeah, that was weird. I didn't like that.
It was what it was.
It was fine. It was fine. It was fine.
It was at least, I agree with you, entertaining, because we're going to talk about another movie.
Jesus Christ. Okay. Yeah, good segue. Do you want to give a fucking plot synopsis for 65?
Oh, I would love to.
Okay, go for it.
So basically, drop us into the planet Somaris.
It's the most cliche, like, planet, future planet name.
Yeah, the planet Somaris. And basically, Adam Driver is talking to presumably his wife and daughter about how he's about to take a trip on a two-year journey to, like, triple his salary because his daughter has some sort of illness or whatever.
Sure.
And long story short, his plane crash lands.
Yeah.
And it crash lands on a planet that we come to find through the title card that thinks it's so intelligent and
Jesus
cool and, like, it's
Lord
a big reveal.
Almighty.
That this is not even a spoiler for 65. It's just literally the premise.
Yeah.
Crash lands on Earth, but it's 65 million years ago. So it's him with
dinosaurs.
Like, yeah, it's basically a guy with, like, technology that even surpasses ours crash landing on Earth 65 million years ago.
Great premise.
Yeah. But that's basically the plot synopsis. It's him trying to escape and get back to his home.
This is barely a movie. Without credits, it's like an hour and 24 minutes long.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It felt like forever.
This can't be all the footage they shot.
I heard,
like,
well,
it's,
I heard
it's
they,
like, it's barely a film.
I heard they had an A cut and a B cut. Like, this can't be the better cut. Surely.
If this is the better cut, I don't want to watch the other one. I don't want to watch this one again, but, you know. What a great premise. What a great lead actor.
Mm-hmm. Wasted.
Wasted.
Wasted. They wrote the script in 5 minutes. Not a single story beat lands.
Like, this has got to be a first draft.
It didn't feel like a first draft. It felt like they put the concept on paper.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it felt like after the brainstorming session, and then they were like, well, we don't have to, like, it felt like they had to reach a deadline, and they were like, Adam Driver will carry it. So,
right.
Since he's the only actor we have to really worry about.
My excitement was, like, the opening is, like, these, like, shots of the nebula. I was like, this is kind of cool. And then they start the showing text on it. I was like, it's less cool. I don't know why you're doing that. And then they immediately cut to that scene on Somaris with him and his daughter. I was like, uh-oh. This is not good.
CGI beach.
CGI beach with, like, really, like, corny-ass dialogue. Which, Adam Driver is trying his best to sell this material.
He's like,
it's a very physical performance. He's a lot of falling and grunting and running. And
if anyone could do it, it would have been him.
And he's trying. He's trying his best. I also don't think, like, the CG isn't great, but it's not bad.
No,
it looks all right.
It had its hills and valleys, like... a lot of the creatures I liked, there's this, it's not really a spoiler, but there's a scene where we see a skeleton of a dinosaur that I was like, haha, that looks funny.
Yeah.
But
there's some cool looking stuff.
The creature design,
it's all right.
I actually enjoy.
I like that some of the dinosaurs have more of like a realistic, like, they look like, birds, like feathers.
Uh-huh.
Like, and I love when, like, they look more like scientific, but this movie is boring. They basically go with the generic, he escorts a little girl across the planet.
Yeah, The Last of Us.
They also take from Logan because she can't speak English.
Oh, right. Yeah.
This movie is so forced. It's forced in that they really have to try to make you feel the bond between these two characters, but you don't care
about
either.
By making Adam Driver scream her name.
But you don't care about either of them. There's no development. It's at once really slow, but also really rushed.
I had a moment in the third act where they shared a moment together, and I was like, oh, they're close now?
Yeah, right.
Like, where was the character development?
Yeah. Like, it's just such an obvious movie. From the first scene, there's an element involving, like, whistling set up that I was like, okay. So
can't
this is going to be reincorporated five fucking times.
It's the Joel effect.
I thought... one of my least favorite parts of this movie is the score. I found it so obnoxious.
I can't even remember the score.
It's so loud. It's just... Oh, yeah. Like, I'm like, holy shit, nothing's happening. And like you said, the title card's like the most pretentious shit I've ever seen in my life.
It says 65... Do you want to get into spoilers? Do you want to start getting into spoilers?
I mean, yeah. It's a boring movie. It's not that... interesting. I thought Adam Driver tried his best. I thought the little girl was all right. I thought it looked all right sometimes. There were a couple moments that raised my eyes. I was like, that's a cool shot or a thing that's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it a 42%. 4 out of 10, 2 out of 5.
My final...
boring.
My final, like, thought on 65, spoiler-free, is they genuinely had to have believed that their concept was so strong to put out a script like this.
Yeah.
And they weren't wrong. It was.
Yeah.
But the fact that the concept was so strong and the fact that... because I remember we talked about 65, like, down in your basement when we were hanging out.
Yeah.
And I was like, gosh, it's going to be so bad. And you guys were like, I'm rooting for it. I was like, I want it to be good too, but it's not going to be.
Yeah.
And it just...
you're right. I'll give you it.
No, it's just... I'm so indifferent about this movie, but I'm so sad at the movie it could have been.
Yeah, I agree. A wasted potential.
Like, how did Hollywood just make dinosaurs boring?
Yeah. Yeah. They keep doing that. I'm managing.
I didn't see Jurassic World Dominion.
It's worse than this.
I assume.
What would you give the film?
Did you say 42?
I said 42%. Yeah.
45.
Okay.
More run of the mill.
Two out of five, though?
Yeah, I started with a 2.5, and then after 30 minutes of sitting there and being like, wow, it's funny how fast 30 minutes has passed when I wasn't in this movie, I knocked it down another...
knocked it, yeah.
...little notch.
Yeah, it's just... yeah, I think I did that with Scream. I gave it a 7, and then I immediately bumped it down to a 6 later, thinking about it. But, yeah, so... Like you said, they had the premise on it. It's the guys who wrote A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
And they obviously were trying to strike lightning again with, like, a premise that's very simple, but, like, you can do a lot with it, but they don't do anything.
They don't do anything with it. It's so lazy.
Something that bothered me a lot is the first 15 minutes is, you know, the setup, him crashing, and then, like, he finds the one survivor, the girl carries her back, and he sees, like, the dinosaur imprint, and it's like, big moment, title card. After the title card, no mystery anymore. There's no mystique.
Yeah,
there's no teasing the dinosaurs. There's just, there's dinosaurs now.
Because the movie has a much longer title, I assume. That just spoils the whole thing. It's like 65 million years ago, an alien crashed. What did it even say?
I don't even remember.
It's so
stupid. What I'm talking about is just visually, like, post-title card, the rest of the movie, there's no, like, teasing the dinosaurs anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he, like, goes out, like, 5 minutes later and is attacked by these little dinosaurs. I'm like, there's no build-up, there's no...
they thought jump scares equaled, like...
oh, the jump scares are bad.
They're so stupid. They got me, and that's what pisses me off.
And there's so many sequences in this movie that are great on paper. There's a scene where he has to fight a dinosaur in a dark cave, and I'm like, this is cool. It has, like, the plot progression of a video game. It felt like a mid-2000s, like, PlayStation 2 game.
I completely agree with you now that you say that.
And I was, like, seeing these set pieces, I'm like, on paper, this is cool.
Yeah.
And they just don't do
it.
It
was just, like I said, the whole time I was just, like, mourning the movie it could have been.
Yeah, and you know, and, like, some of the better, like, shots and moments are in the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the T-Rex roaring behind him in the rain, that's a great shot. That's a cool moment.
Shit. Yeah.
And the only kind of action that got a rise out of me, because I found a lot of it to be repetitive, mm-hmm. Is the climax. I thought was a kind of fun, with the acid burning, the big dinosaur. I thought that was kind of fun.
Oh, that was cool. The hot spring.
Yeah, the way it dies. I was like, that's cool. I was like, that's cool.
And the CGI actually looked pretty decent.
It looked quite good there.
The only thing that really made me go ooh in that movie,
But, like, yeah, you get these scenes dedicated to them bonding or, like, goofing around, throwing berries at each other. And, like, there's, like, a goofy-ass score with, like, bongos and, like, whatever in the background. Like, it's so generic.
Contrived subplot with the daughter, further extending its comparisons to The Last of Us.
Yeah, oh my god, the way they use the daughter hologram in the climax made me laugh out loud.
That girl.
I watched it with my friend, and she was really excited to see it, and just watching her excitement die.
Yeah, where the excitement came to die, truly.
Yeah, it just, it there's like nothing to talk about. I'm trying to remember it.
The thing is that a couple days enough ago. Of it pissed me off to where I remember a lot of it.
Yeah.
What I hated was, because obviously it's the, one of them doesn't speak English, and that's like the...
Yeah.
And there's that scene where Adam Driver is drawing. And I hate, what I hate about it is that they don't come up with an actual creative or good solution for the two to speak to each other.
Yeah.
Adam Driver just draws pictures and then just says English. It's like literally like the stereotypical, like, can you hear me?
Yeah, right.
Can you understand me now that I'm enunciating every syllable of this language don't understand? Yeah. And somehow she just starts to get it? She's old enough to where that wouldn't happen.
Especially as the film went, there were a couple times I was like, how do you understand what he just said?
She doesn't. She shouldn't.
There's a point where, like, dinosaurs are, like, approaching, and he goes, run. And she starts running. I was like, what?
How does she fucking know?
How the fuck does she know what run is?
Like, just, like, I also hate that
Also hinging it on a liar revealed plot of, like, he has to lie that her parents are alive to get her up the mountain.
I didn't even realize that's what they were doing. That's how weak it's written.
Well, the fact that she finds out that he lied, and then 2 minutes later, they're chill again.
Yeah.
I don't know, like...
What else pissed me off? I think that's just what it's gotta be. The dialogue is terrible.
It's not great.
I'm glad we got some Adam Driver screaming moments. That's my favorite part of his performances.
Absolutely. It does not look like a fun set. Like, he's covered in, like, mud and dirt.
No.
And, like, but, yeah.
Truly did not pay him enough for this. I do appreciate that Adam Driver is kind of, like, taking these kind of projects, though.
Yeah.
Because eventually there's going to be lightning in a bottle, and he's going to be really great in something adjacent to this.
For sure. One of these blockbusters. Because it certainly, it didn't feel cynical like some modern blockbusters where you're like, holy shit, this is like a studio, like a CG heavy, like money grab. This felt like a movie like that they would have made in like 2001.
Yeah.
And it would be very popular on TNT.
For sure. I know Adam Driver is really, you know, he had a really amazing... one of the only like amazing parts of the sequel trilogy,
I would argue,
his performance as Kylo Ren, and then he kind of
Marriage Story.
And well, I love all these movies, but he did all these movies that were obviously Oscar, trying to bait an Oscar nomination for
him,
and he never got like.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he got one for Marriage Story.
He did.
But like The Last Duel, nothing for him there. And
great
what
movie.
Else? What else did he do that kind of?
White Noise last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad that he's sort of like.
Yeah.
Taking on these like. Cool zany sci-fi projects because it really lends
again,
itself
again
to
like
that.
You said, I think he's gonna strike gold with a project, but this is not the one.
No,
I wanted it to be
not his fault at all.
No, not at all. He's good in it. He's serviceable. Like
it's like so bad that you can't point fingers at people, but he's like the only one who's like, and the rest of the 4-person cast is exempt from blame in this. I think.
Yeah, I mean they're not. Yeah. It's just such a simple premise where you can run wild in any way.
I literally was thinking during the movie while eating my chicken strips. The best part of my 65 experience was the chicken strips I had.
Yeah.
Springfield Alamo Draft House, their food's bussin'. 10 out of 10. Favorite movie theater.
I love Alamo. I love the Alamo. Yeah. I went to the one that they built here.
Oh, was it good?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We went to see Megan there.
Oh, fun. I'm an Alamo lover till I know.
Yeah. I'm going to see... this is aside, I'm fucked 65.
Yeah, fuck 65.
My friend's having his birthday in a couple weeks, and they're playing Speed Racer at the Alamo.
Are they really?
Yeah, and I get to see
it. What day are they playing Speed Racer at the Alamo?
The 29th. Wednesday the 29th,
damn,
I think.
Unfortunate.
And I get to see my favorite movie on the fucking big screen. Oh, yes, finally.
Speed Racer. I still have not seen it.
One day we will change that, bro. That movie is fucking great.
I want to watch it with you and Jordan in the same room.
Jesus, he would have to agree to it.
He won't.
Yeah, I know he won't. Fucking loser. Yeah, so 65, I'm done. I have nothing else to say. I can't talk about this movie.
I've said my piece. I just kind of am rambling at this point. And I don't like to, like, if I have negative thoughts about something, I don't like to ramble on and on about, like, what I didn't like. So I really have nothing else to say.
I'm sure there was more when I was watching it, but, like...
I don't think there was, because I don't think there's anything that we haven't... I thought the scene where he fought the little raptors was cool and genuinely one of the only compelling action scenes in the whole thing.
That was fun. Yeah.
But
I like seeing...
There was that one scene.
What?
What did you think about the scene where he dislocated his arm? I hated how he just picked up his gun immediately after it snapped back in place.
I didn't like that at all. I thought that was a silly scene.
I was like, you understand the formula for a scene to build tension, you just don't know how to use it effectively.
Yeah, absolutely. I think they have the pieces here, but they needed 8 more drafts of the script. Needed something else.
Yeah, it just wasn't it. It wasn't the movie it had the potential to be at all.
It wasn't it. I was very confused because I complained about how bad the score is, and I looked it up, and it said that Danny Elfman did the score, and I was like, ain't no fucking way Danny Elfman did the score. He did a version of the score, and then another composer came in and did another score, but he still has a co-composer credit.
It's the remix.
Yeah, so it is not a Danny Elfman score.
Bass boosted Elfman.
It's some fucking hack. I'm not even going to find his name. This movie is a 2 out of 5. It's boring. I don't recommend it. It's like, it's a yawn fest. It 65 million yawns.
I really don't have, much good to say about it. There were things that pissed me off, but I really don't have a lot of, like, terrible things to say about it either.
It's not, like, the worst thing
I would have been
ever.
Less bored if it was bad.
Yeah, exactly. I like, if this was a 2 out of 10, like, After Earth situation, I'd probably be more entertained.
I've never seen After Earth.
It's something. But, yeah.
Mid 80 for Brady better.
80 for Brady better. Fucking Cocaine Bear better.
I haven't seen Cocaine Bear.
It's not, you know.
I've heard, like...
Take it or leave it.
The two things I've heard is, wait, it's actually good, and this is the worst movie ever made.
It's neither. It's just mid.
Okay, fair enough.
Mid-bear. Mid-bear. Well, that's the episode. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me. Nice little spread of just meh.
Absolutely. You have anything to plug?
I am currently taking a little break from social media, but if you want, you can follow me there. It's just usually my name, Charlie Wade, WEHDE. Definitely follow me on Letterboxd, because I'm doing the 80 for 80 for Brady challenge. And me and my buddy Nathan are planning to launch some sort of, like, podcast diary of us doing this. I assume
that... We will plug it on here.
Well, assume that you two will be on as, like,
guest
stars.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
If we get it up and running this summer. So that information will be on those socials if you're interested in keeping up with this. But I mean, that's really all I have to plug. Shout out to, I know they're listening. I saw 3 shows while I was in New York. I saw, the play Life of Pi, the play adaptation of Life of Pi.
Okay.
I saw a play called Leopoldstadt. Okay. I saw the musical Kimberly Akimbo. Okay. I know all of them are listening. Shout out to those productions. They were incredible.
Okay. Fair enough. If you like the podcast, you can follow it on Twitter and Instagram at Cinema Shakedown, and you can follow me personally on Twitter and Letterboxd at Kyle Craigbaum. That's KRIEGHBAUM. Next week, I have another guest on, Mr. Harsh Jaswal, and we are going to be talking about the 2 Shazam films. Famously, Harsh Jaswal does not like any DC film that is not Zack Snyder. So
from the perspective of me, you guys are going to want to watch this episode. I see Kyle and Jordan beef with Harsh on Twitter every day about any DC that is not Zack Snyder.
And I'm definitely...
You guys just send each other reaction memes all the time.
I'm going to ask him some questions about his thoughts on James Gunn running the DC show now. And
I saw that James Gunn was going to be, like, the new DC runner.
Yeah.
And I don't know Harsh. I don't think I've ever met Harsh. Yeah. But I was like, I was like, Harsh is going to be in his Joker era.
Yeah, I think he is. But stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, y'all.